This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome in. You listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's Thursday morning. It's been raining on and off here downtown for sure. Looks like we're in the middle of some sort of a circular weather pattern that's going to bring this on and off all day. So hopefully it doesn't mess up your plans. Apparently we're in for a beautiful weekend, Kim.
So I hear.
So according to meteorologist Dave Murray, we're in for just a gorgeous weekend. And
thank goodness.
Yeah, we need it. We'll have to mow grass again here as soon as it stops raining, I'm afraid.
Our lawn has been growing really fast, and the weeds, I'm over the weeds. I have like OCD about the weeds in my yard, and it's like whack-a-mole. I'm out there pulling weeds, and then I come back a day later, and 20 more have popped up, and I just want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good point. We've got lots to get to this morning. In fact, Christy Noem was in Illinois yesterday complaining about the Sanctuary City policies. And remember the congresswoman who replaced Liz Cheney, who spanked her so badly in the primary, she didn't make it out of the primary? Her name is Representative Hageman. And she has introduced a bill that would prevent student visas being issued for sanctuary cities. So it would stop Democrat-controlled jurisdictions from harboring aliens, right? They would just shut them down. And it's called the No Student Visas for Sanctuary Cities Act, to hold sanctuary cities accountable for their violations of federal law and for their aiding of illegal aliens. So we'll see where it goes. That sounds like one of those bills, and unless they could get it stuck into the reconciliation bill, I don't think the Democrats would support it, of course, because they support illegal immigration. And although student visas are not illegal immigration, oftentimes those visas get overstayed, and we know there's a continuing problem with it. So we'll see what happens. I also saw Eric Burleson tweet out this week that they may change the NFA through the reconciliation bill to eliminate the tax stamp, the $200 requirement that you have to do a background check to get a suppressor for your firearm. And it's a stupid rule. It's been around since the 1930s, and they may finally be close to getting rid of that. We'll keep an ear on that, as we often have Congressman Burleson on the air here. So I'll let you know where that's going. Coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent and get his take on what's expected to be a huge deal announced today, the first big trade deal with the United Kingdom. So we'll get to that. And then Elliot Davis at the bottom of the hour on some new comments from the mayor of St. Louis. It sounded an awful lot like the old comments from the old mayor of St. Louis. All that's coming up right now, our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You run a campaign and you do 3 or 4 or 5 rallies in a week. The only way you can get around to talk to 30,000 people. Think I'm going to be sitting on a waiting line at United waiting, you know, what, 30,000 people are waiting? That's the only way you can get around.
What's good for thee is not good for me. That is Bernie Sanders, who says, I don't have to fly commercial. I'm a big deal. I'm a United States senator. I get to fly like all the oligarchs I'm complaining about.
It's on Congress to figure out how to get us back on a sustainable path. And, you know, it's not up to us to give them advice.
Yeah. Jerome Powell, suddenly not interested in helping out the occupant in the White House like he clearly was when Joe Biden was president.
The one thing we know they're not doing is checking Instagram because their devices have all been confiscated.
I believe the kids call it raw dogging it.
No! I don't know why the kids are calling it that, because it has a whole different meaning to most of us. And that was Tony DeCoppel on Network News talking about Catholic cardinals and raw dogging.
This governor has bragged about Illinois being a firewall against President Trump's immigration enforcement agenda.
Yep, there it is. That is Kristi Noem, I don't know, probably wasting her breath, but I'm glad to see her fighting back against J.B. Pritzker yesterday up in Springfield. She did a news conference where she was talking to him and to some of the, what would you call them, angel moms and families that lost loved ones to illegal aliens. And a couple of these people, I had one of them on the air here one time. I'm trying to remember when that was, because he had lost his brother, I think, Brian McCann. He had lost his brother to an illegal alien. And the point of most of these people is pretty simple. If you had not broken the law, if you'd not broken U.S. immigration law by allowing open borders in the United States, my brother would still be alive today. The police officer, David Lee, would still be alive today. All of these people who died at the hands of people who should never have been in this country anyway would be alive today if it wasn't for that. And yet we have people like J.B. Pritzker who put together sanctuary cities to protect the criminals, not their own citizens. It's sickening. Here was Brian McCann. He spoke out at that news conference with Kristi Noem yesterday. Go to cut two, please.
My name's Brian McCann. My brother Dennis was killed violently in the Logan Square neighborhood in June of 2011. He was killed by an illegal alien, one Saul Chavez, who had been convicted of a similar crime, although with no death involved, 2 years prior. And he was not deported because Chicago and Cook County had already established a sanctuary system. And 2 months after my brother was killed, Cook County encoded the law and passed the sanctuary law. A year after that, the city did. And about 7 or 8 years, Pritzker signed Illinois to go sanctuary. So we're one of the most notorious sanctuary states in the Union.
That's what you get. That's what everyone needs to remember when J.B. Pritzker announces his run for president, which will probably come sometime after the midterms.
I wonder how the loved ones, people who have lost somebody to an illegal alien, I wonder what their politics were on this particular issue before that happened. Like Laken Riley, her parents have been very vocal about this. They obviously had the Laken Riley Act. That was the first piece of legislation that was, you know, signed into law by Congress and by President Trump. And, you know, were they okay with people coming in and then it happened to them and then all of a sudden things changed? I mean, that's often, it seems like, what tends to happen, right? Is you're against something and then it happens to you and you're like, oh my gosh, I realize now this is a much bigger issue.
And you realize those are your people that that allowed that to happen. The people you've been supporting, who were supposed to be protecting you. It's pretty disgusting. Coming up, we're going to get to former Senator Jim Talent. Love having him on here on Thursdays. Anxious to get his take on whether or not the dam is about to break on these tariff deals, because at 9 a.m. this morning Central Time, the White House is planning to announce a major
trade deal. And we're going to get Jim's thoughts on that when we come back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
China said the U.S. initiated the trade talks this weekend and that its position hasn't changed. Are you still confident you can reach a deal with China?
They said we initiated? Well, I think they ought to go back and study their files. Okay, I do think that.
We've got Jim Talent on the phone with us this morning, former Missouri Senator. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
So that was the president obviously suggesting there that China's lying, which would not surprise anyone at all if they're trying to save face in this whole thing. But this morning at 9 our time, they're expected to announce the first major trade deal, worst kept secret in Washington, because apparently it's already been leaked that it's the United Kingdom.
Yes, I read that this morning. It's the first of what I think are going to be many. These countries all need our domestic market more than we need theirs. And I think you're going to see the principle of reciprocity, which I've thought was the right one for years, being implemented with a number of the countries. So Mark, people need to think about the tariffs, or I would think about them in three different segments. So the 10% global tariff, I think, is going to stay because that's an attempt to rebuild the manufacturing industrial base, which is absolutely vital for the country. Then we have these one-on-one negotiations with our major trade partners around the world in an attempt to get a sustainable deal over the long term according to sort of common principles. So you're going to see, I think, common principles reflected in these deals. And then the third is the issues with China, which the president also spoke about yesterday, and you just played that clip. And what I will say is anybody who thinks China's not doing this, go to the USCC.gov. That's the United States China Commission. I served on it for 8 years. Or just Google China's techno-national toolbox. The ways that they evade their obligations under the world trade agreements and use it to basically to steal sectors of the economy from other countries. It's amazing how they have weaponized so many different tools in order to gain wealth at the expense of other countries, including the United States.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've heard some people argue that some of these businesses that are being told they should bring production, and more production at least, over to the United States, that they're being sent mixed messages because it's this idea of, well, you should be producing more of your products in the United States, but we're still going to work to try to come to some sort of a trade deal. So people feeling like, well, why would we want to do that if you could come up with some sort of a deal where then it's not as expensive for us to continue producing in, say, China or the UK?
Well, again, I think you have to separate out China. I think what's being done here is an attempt to decouple us from China using basically a market mechanism. In other words, you increase costs of doing business with China, and then business takes a look at it and says, okay, this is the reverse of the situation that began 25 years ago when it was a desire for profit that drew us into China. Now we need to get out and go to other countries. These trade agreements with our major trading partners are different. I mean, once we get trade agreements that recognize the principle of reciprocity, it may be more advantageous to produce in another country, and that's okay. I mean, we're not saying that all the production needs to be in the United States. What the administration's saying is that the arrangements with other countries have not been fair. I think that's manifestly true in most instances. we're going to turn into a level playing field, and then you make the best market decision you can, whether you want to produce in Europe or India or the United States.
Yeah, it's a good point. We got Jim Talent on the phone with us this morning, and I see this announcement yesterday that the U.S. has agreed to back off the Houthis. The Houthis have said, you know, we've had enough. And then the story comes out that it was Iran pressuring them to reach that deal so that they could facilitate some nuclear deal. Do you think that's on the verge of happening? Are we going to be satisfied with that?
Well, with regard to the Houthis, we had a war aim, which was to basically degrade their power to the point where they were not a threat to international shipping, and then force them to stop shooting at international shipping. And that's been accomplished. And so when your war aim is accomplished, you stop the war. I mean, if you don't, when do you stop it, Mark?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's good point.
What I was thinking this morning is now, is this a permanent solution? No. And I think the Trump administration understands that. But it's a good statement to make for the future. They know now if they start a campaign like this, at least while Trump is president, they know what's going to happen. When we destroyed about three quarters of their missiles, and then the Israelis took out their main port, you know, so we punished them pretty good. On the Iranian issue, this is a question because there is concern, I think, particularly in Israel, that the United States may agree to a deal that is something less than a total breakdown of the Iranian nuclear infrastructure. I'm confident that isn't going to happen. I don't know what the administration can do or say to provide more assurances to everybody. I mean, if I went through the list of things we're doing to punish Iran now, I mean, it would take the rest of the segment. So
yeah.
I have a fair amount of confidence. But look, I mean, it's the right policy. It has to be executed correctly. The president is right in saying what the objective has to be. They have to totally break down the infrastructure. I mean, Rubio just affirmed that again the other day. So we'll see. But for right now, I remain confident.
So just to be clear, Jim, I've got about 2 minutes left here. Breaking that down will mean not producing, not enriching any more uranium, even for a nuclear power plant, correct?
Right. And and also breaking down all the centrifuges, the infrastructure, and then shipping out the enriched uranium they've got. And then if they want a civilian program, then they do what other countries do have a civilian program. They buy it from someplace else. I mean, there is no reason to enrich uranium to operate a civilian nuclear program. Mark, how do you think we enrich uranium? I mean, we can. We have the capability of doing that. So if they hold firm on those things, then the Iranians have a choice. You either break it all down the way Libya did. I mean, this has happened before.
Right.
Or Israel and the United States attack. I mean, the president just said there's going to be bombings. Nobody else has been that open. That's Trump style. He doesn't say there are military options on the table. He said, we're going to bomb you. So we will see what happens. Now, another issue is how long the president puts up with them dawdling during negotiations. I think it's pretty clear, you know, he has this trip planned to the Gulf states. I think he's going to announce some major investments in the United States there, and I don't think they want to do anything before that. That's in about a week. So again, we'll see, and people are nervous. This is an inflection point. But I mean, when I look at what the administration's done, I mean, the B-2 bombers in Diego Garcia, the THAAD missile defense system in Israel, bringing an ordnance into our air bases in the Middle East, smashing the Houthis, increasing the sanctions on the Iranian, making the threat very, very clear. I don't know what else they could do to say, this is what you've got to do, or we're going to attack. The Israelis will carry most of that load. But if it happens, we will send in the heavy bombers. Second day of the war. In other words, the Israelis take out the air defense systems. And then we and the Israelis attack a country that you know, is completely vulnerable at that point.
Yep. It's good. It's well reasoned. Jim, thank you very much. We appreciate your thoughts.
You guys are welcome.
We'll talk to you soon. Former Senator Jim Talent there with his thoughts on what's going on over there in the Middle East. Coming up, we're going to change the focus to St. Louis. There's a new mayor in town. Her name is Kara Spencer. Elliot Davis got his first chance to ask her some questions the other day. And they sound very familiar. We'll talk to Elliot when we come back.
What's wrong with our eyes?
Well, it's funny. Earlier, Kim played sound from a business owner in Kansas City
who is thinking of leaving the city because of rampant crime problems and all of that. And, you know, Mayor Quentin Lucas out there has been here to St. Louis when Tashara Jones was mayor, walking the streets and talking about the problems they share in common. Certainly crime is one of them, but we have a new mayor now, Kara Spencer, and she had her first real news conference the other day. And our friend Elliot Davis joining us this morning, of course, recently retired from Fox 2 News. Elliot, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Busiest retired man I know. You know that?
Somebody else said that.
It's true. So I was reading your post on this press conference that Kara Spencer held, and one of your comments after asking her what she's going to do about crime, you pointed out it sounded very much like the same answer you got from the last mayor.
Well, you know, and I had been posting before she got elected that I didn't see a whole lot of difference between her and Tashara Jones. Both are progressives. Now, there might be some, obviously, some differences around the edges. We'll see a few different department heads. But basically, you know, it sounded like the same old plan. I'm going to be nice today. Let me dial it back. Mark, I'm going to be a nice guy today, buddy. But it sounded like the same old plan. I asked Kara, I said, okay, what's your plan for dealing with crime? And the first thing she started doing is talking about how the numbers had dropped, and that it was, you know, that we're better off because the crime numbers were down. Well, I counter that with saying St. Louis is still in the top five most dangerous cities in the United States. So why even say that? Tashara said that. That's the same thing that she said. And so her first, you know, answer was okay about crime was we have a lot of car people drive, you know, cars recklessly. And there was a tragic, you know, death of a firefighter, Corey McBride. And that is certainly a tragedy in St. Louis. And she first focused, she said, okay, and police have cleared some dirt bikes off the road, and we got to deal with these reckless drivers. We do have to deal with that. But, and I have to ask this as a follow-up question, what about the homicides in this city? What are you doing about that? And so her answer was, well, we got to get those guns off the street. And the problem is the guns. I've been hearing that answer for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, she talked about how she made it seem, at least when she was campaigning, like she was more police friendly, that there was this need to hire more police. Obviously, we have the police now under state control, and they're working to kind of build the board of commissioners for that. But has Kara Spencer actually laid out a timeline or any sort of a concrete plan on how she plans to go about hiring these new officers, how many she wants to hire?
I didn't hear it. I certainly didn't hear it at the press conference when I asked about crime. Mm-hmm. That was a perfect chance to say, I'm going to try to hire 300 new police officers and bring them on board. We're going to jack up the pay. We're going to try to make police feel that we're the kinder, gentler progressives, not the ones that endorse defund the police. I go back, guys, when defund the police came along, it seemed like Tashara was on board. The Board of Aldermen was on board, and Kara Spencer was on the board, and she didn't say anything against defund the police. And so fast forward to today, to Tuesday, the news conference, I didn't hear anything in the way of being dramatically pro-law enforcement. I didn't hear anything like, okay, we're going to send a message to the bad guys.
Yeah.
That we're not going to take this anymore, that we're going to increase, we're going to make sure that we're beefed up prosecutions. We're going to hire officers to make sure that there are arrests and whatever. We're going to put the bad guys behind bars. Nothing like that. No real tough signal. It was the same old stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, what I heard from Tashara Jones and what I heard from Kara Spencer. So anybody in St. Louis that was looking for anything dramatically different, well, they have to think again.
Elliot Davis, our guest right now. You know, here's it one, Elliot, that you've been covering before. I drive by the old criminal courts building the other day where the fences had been removed, and now they're back. So I want to know if we paid for that.
Well, you know, I don't know. Well, obviously, we would pay for it.
Yeah.
The fences had been taken down. I know Tashara Jones had the fences put up. And then Tashara had the fences then taken back down. I haven't been down since to see the fences back up. I was there Tuesday. I didn't see them back up.
It's a different fence, but they put a fence up. I assume maybe they were afraid the unhoused, as they like to refer to them, the homeless, were about to move back in there and set up camp.
Well, I asked her about the homeless. A few things I asked her about. For example, Megan Green. Now, let me get to the homeless first. No plan on the homeless. She basically said, we're going to have to get the groups together. She said she has a lot of people who want to partner with the city and figure out how to make things better. My contention is this. Kara Spencer has been on the Board of Alderman for 10 years. She ran for mayor 4 years ago. You were thinking all that time you'd have a plan going in. And so you wouldn't have to I agree with studying stuff, but if you've been around government that long, you should already have a plan. I didn't see a plan on crime, didn't see a plan on homelessness. What I saw is disorganization in government. For example, she talked about Megan Green, who filed that lawsuit against a state control, filed a suit the attorney general. Well, of course, when Tashara Jones filed a similar lawsuit in the last days of her administration, Kara Spencer came to office and dropped that effort, said, no, I'm not going to do that. Not right now. I'm in favor of, you know, local control, but I'm not going to do that. And so what happened, what does Megan Green do? She files a lawsuit on her own to try to overturn state control. The mayor did say, I'm disappointed in that. So it just seems like nobody's on the same page.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I have to say this, and I'm going to move on. The whole workhouse, it's just so much that's bad, so much that's confusing about the administration and about there doesn't seem to be any direction. We don't seem to have any real positive plan on how to solve these serious problems, like crime. We don't, at least she hasn't outlaid that plan, if she has one. Workhouse, for example, I said, hey, was it a mistake to tear down the workhouse? As you recall, Tashara Jones demolished the workhouse and was probably a campaign gimmick.
Yes.
Demolished the workhouse in the last days of her administration. And I said, well, to Kara, was this a bad move? Was this a mistake? And she said, well, I don't have enough information on it yet. Well, she was on the Board of Alderman in that whole discussion.
Right. Yeah, just passing the buck. It's a whole lot of nothing, basically. She just doesn't want to say one way or the other. I wanted to ask you about a conversation you recently had with the new St. Louis County prosecuting attorney, Melissa Price Smith. She just hit her 100 days in office. I know some of the questions you asked her about related to crime and her message to the bad guys in St. Louis County. What did you make of that? What was your big takeaway from your conversation with her?
Well, you know, I thought that Melissa was better than the alternative. The alternative that Sam Page wanted. I was there when she talked to the county council, and they had a chance to question both people. And she has been in the office a long time, actually worked in the office. What I heard from her really is a person, she's trying to do something. I think she wants to do something and wants to make a difference. We still have to wait and see what they're going to do, exactly what. The problem that I see, and here's the problem that I see it, and I basically thought that Melissa should have gotten that job to replace Wesley Bill. What I see is this, in our law enforcement, in our elected officials, many people seem to be really afraid to take a real hardcore stance against the bad guys. Melissa came closest saying, okay, I want to get the nonviolent offenders out of jail. In one of our programs. That's a good thing. And I want to get the violent offenders off the street. That's a good thing. So I found she did say some good things. So out of all the officials, elected officials I've heard, she sounds the most resident friendly in terms of wanting to deal with the crime issue. But I haven't heard anybody that's just hardcore and who really is on the same page as the residents are saying, this is out of control. We want something done. And the residents want somebody who's going to have a tough voice in dealing with the bad guys, you know, as opposed to always having to kind of, you know, I'm going to get the bad guys, but I want to let you guys know I'm trying to.
It makes a big difference. That was definitely an upgrade. There's no doubt. Elliot, where can people follow you these days?
Let me say this. I do like Melissa. I think she's going to do a good job. Like I said, I think also that in this climate, with the voting climate, it seems that a lot of voters are progressively minded, liberally minded, and so none of the elected officials want to say anything that will run astray or go afoul of the progressive voters, and so they always couch everything they say.
That's St. Louis County for you these days, for sure.
And St. Louis City.
And St. Louis City. Where's the best place for people to follow you these days, what you're doing?
They can actually follow me on Elliot Davis TV. That's my Facebook page that's actually grown from about 170,000 followers when I was with Fox 2. Now, 7 months later, I've been retired. It's going on 186,000 followers.
Congratulations.
So it is growing primarily because, obviously, I get to say whatever I want to say.
That's right.
That helps.
And hopefully people like the message. Like I said, try to be a nice guy today. But people are afraid. They're afraid out here in the streets. And when officials come and they try to tell us that, hey, the numbers are down. But you read any report and you'll see St. Louis top five of dangerous cities in the United States. So people aren't feeling so great about it all.
That's a good point. Elliot, thanks for your time today, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. See you soon. Elliot Davis there. Always good to get him on. He was being nice today, he said. That's funny.
The gloves come off a different day.
Gloves are coming off. All right. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim right after this. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, there's a pretty massive statue that just popped up right smack dab in the middle of Times Square in New York City, and people are not happy about it. I'm all about having a statue for somebody who did something really incredible, a hero. But when a statue like this pops up, I have questions, okay? I don't know how else to describe it to you other than it's about a 12-foot tall statue of a woman with her hands on her hips. And people are saying that it's a heavyset woman and that it looks like Letitia James.
It looks like Letitia James. It looks, the hair's a little different, but facially and physically, it looks like Letitia James. It's very weird that that's the person I'm sure it's not the person they modeled it after, but I don't think it's any coinkydink that that's who it looks like.
Here's what it says. The statue is titled Grounded in the Star, says the installation aims at making people ponder over the emotion of empathy and introspect on the statue by comparing it with that of the two men in Duffy Square. This particular sculpture, again, it's at Times Square right now, will be on display until June 17th.
Who are the two men in Duffy Square?
A good question. I didn't even know that was a thing. But you can probably hear me typing right now. I was not aware of the other men. This whole thing is just odd to me that they've decided to put this up. Now, I understand it's not permanent, but what was really the point of this?
Yeah. It's 12 feet
tall.
12
feet tall.
That's unbelievable. And yet they're tearing down. So one of the monuments is to Father Francis Duffy, who the park is named after. He was a soldier priest. So you can see maybe why they might have honored him.
I guess some on social media are saying that it breaks the mold. This new statue of the woman breaks the mold, celebrating a plus-size black woman in a space dominated by statues of men. It's bold, inclusive, and makes you think about who gets immortalized.
Does it? like to get immortalized, don't you have to accomplish something?
Well, that was my thought.
What has that woman accomplished would be my question.
Well, first of all, who is the woman?
Yeah.
I think it's just... It's supposed to be generic, but again, some say it looks like Letitia James. What does Letitia James think about this is the question. Does she think that it's about her? Did they talk to her about this? I'd be very curious.
Oh my gosh. The social media comments on it are hilarious. The Daily Mail carried some of those. One comment said, how about something that looks like someone other than somebody complaining that their order wasn't right?
She's the hands on the hips, do look a little bit like she'd be a Karen. Sorry,
the other one
Karens
says, if I was black, I'd be pissed. So this is supposed to represent black women, obese and cheap with Walmart clothing.
The expression on her
comment.
The expression on her face looks like she's either about to cry or argue with the cashier at Target, is what someone commented.
Yeah, I don't know. But a lot of it's the important thing to say is it's temporary, right?
It's temporary, but are more of these going to be popping up? Are they trying to make some statement, and this is the first of them, and this is going to be a statue that they in different cities that just appears?
We generally put up statues to people who have accomplished something.
Maybe we can get this 12-foot statue to come to St. Louis City next. She could be planted right at the top of Forest Park there at Art Hill with King Louis.
Welcome to 2025. That's all I can say. Coming up, our friend Shannon Bream on that big announcement due at 9 a.m. Central Time. Stay tuned.